Good afternoon. I'm Rose Brewer with the Black Left Unity Network, and I'll be moderating the call today. Thanks to everyone for joining the call. I want to say just a little bit about Blonde, and we have Kali Akunu, who will say just a bit about the co-sponsor, the labor working group of the United States Human Rights Network. But BLUN is a network that has had as its signature work developing Black Left unity. And we still have quite a bit of work to do. But forging left unity within the context of giving a working class and internationalist perspective to our movement has been a major goal. Kali, can you say a little bit about the United States Human Rights Network and that working group?
Sure. Greetings, everyone. My name is Kali Akunu. I'm the interim co-director of the U.S. Human Rights Network. I want to thank you all for joining the call again. Just a brief piece about the labor working group. It's one of the many working groups that the U.S. Human Rights Network helps to facilitate and give some structure to kind of guide the work of the social movements in this country around human rights. And so this group has been in formation for some time, and like a lot of working groups, it comes in and out of activity. And we're you know, since Wisconsin, I think, has definitely been reforming and regrouping to focus on issues around worker struggles throughout the United States. And if folks would like to join that group, you can email myself, that's kakuno@ushrnetwork.org. To get some more information. Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll have more information on getting connected to the Black Left Unity Network near the end of the call. So thanks once again for being on the call. And today we are focused on the Occupy movement that has swept and is sweeping the U.S. and the globe. The Black Left Unity Network has taken the position that it is important to develop a process for addressing the questions that have quickly surfaced related to the political character of this movement and the role and participation of Black, Latino, Asian, and other forces. Especially are we concerned with the issue of how might the Occupy movement be used in organizing our communities for fundamental social change in the interests of the Black and brown masses and all people. We have speakers today who will address that question and others, so we're looking forward to an informative and visionary call. Let me just say a bit about the layout of the call, a bit of an introduction to the technology and how we see this unfolding this afternoon. For all of you on the call, you are on mute, and you will remain on mute until we get to the question and answer period. And then it's a matter of indicating that you want to make a statement or ask a question by pressing star one. I'll review this again when we get to that point. And then you will be unmuted. I plan to take maybe 3 to 4 questions at a time, and we will take the process from there. The questions will likely be directed to the presenters, and we'll say more about who they are today. So we will begin with some framing statements to the call with two presenters, Saladin Muhammad and Christine Williams. Then we will move to a series of local reports. The initial framing statements should not take any longer than about 8 minutes each. And then the four cities that will be addressing what's going on the ground, those presenters will take 3 to 5 minutes. And then we will open it up to Q&A and expect that to run about 40 minutes. This is a 90-minute call, or approximately 90 minutes, so we have quite a bit to do and not a whole lot of time. After the Q&A, the idea is to think about possible next steps, and we have Sam Anderson from BLUN who will speak about what that might look like and think about where we will go from here. So that's the layout, and we will open up today's call with our two framing speakers. Speaker one is Saladin Muhammad. He is with the Black Left Unity Network. And these speakers will be addressing the current moment and the Occupy movement and reflections on political direction. And Saladin will take about 8 minutes, and then we will go to speaker two. So Saladin Muhammad. Are you there?
Hello?
Yes, are you there, Saladin?
Yes, okay. Well, yeah, thank you, Sister Rose. Brothers and sisters, comrades, this is an important moment in the crisis of U.S. and global capitalism that must be given serious attention by forces in the Black Liberation Movement, which some of us refer to loosely as the Black Left. The Occupy Wall Street campaign that is identifying capitalism as the source of the problems facing millions of working class and oppressed peoples in the U.S. and internationally, despite weaknesses, is an important campaign helping to promote a popular anti-capitalist sentiment. We know that there are hundreds of local struggles throughout the working class, Black, and oppressed people's communities and involving Black workers at the workplace that have the potential to deepen and further radicalize this anti-capitalist sentiment and to expand and fuse it into areas of struggle for Black and working class power, areas of power that we need if we are to develop an effective revolutionary capacity to make revolutionary advances in this critical time when global capitalism and imperialism is being challenged throughout the globe. We must have a discussion about what power we need and must struggle for as a movement in this period, and how an anti-capitalist sentiment can help shape the Black mass consciousness about the character, content, and demands of the struggles for power. We must recognize that the fragmentation of the Black Liberation Movement has been a major factor for many years, affecting our inability to influence the character and content of important movements and campaigns, including the labor movement, the anti-war movement, the struggle for reconstruction in the Gulf Coast after the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, and also during presidential campaigns. No single Black liberation or multinational organization has the reach and depth nationally among the Black masses to expand and influence the character and content of this anti-capitalist sentiment and fuse it into the struggles to elevate their transformative politics and character. We are finding that there are various experiences and views among Black activists about how to participate in, whether to participate in, or not to participate in, and about how to expand and influence the character of the Occupy Wall Street campaign. We are starting to see engagement by Black people, Black and people of color activists, many of you who are bringing contingents to sites like Liberty Park in New York. Others are identifying targets and issues in and related to conditions in our communities that impact Black workers and also at the workplace and the millions of unemployed. There are important developments influencing participation in the OWS led by Black workers, activists, that we often don't know about. For example, in New York, labor's participation in the OWS was influenced by the leadership of Local 100, TWU, which has more than 35,000 workers, and 80% are workers of color. This will be explained a little more by the next speaker. And there are other examples of labor and social movement actions led by Black and working class communities of color where we can influence the character and content. We need to know about these efforts and look for ways to spread them and integrate them into our collective assessments and discussions about possible areas of coordinated national action. This is why this is an important call, in Blunt's opinion. There will be problems in popular campaigns, especially if they're not grounded in movements with clear demands, organized tactics, and a sense of national coordination that we must be mindful of if we identify with the OWS movement. Workers in Wisconsin, for example, conducted the most recent and most powerful occupation in the U.S. The struggle against corporate domination of the state reached a high point in Wisconsin, where some workers were calling for a general strike to defend worker rights and public services. However, there was not a strong enough militant rank-and-file force in the unions to push the strike movement forward against the collaboration of the labor bureaucracy with the Democratic Party, who saw settling the problem through the electoral route, thereby putting brakes on the working-class-led mass struggles not only in Wisconsin but throughout the country. The same potential exists here with the OWS. There are attempts to turn it into an electoral movement, some defining it as the popular democratic movement against the Tea Party racist populism. This turns attention away from being anti-capitalist and direct challenges against the targets of capitalist profits and power. We know that there is much confusion among black people about challenges to the corporate policies and the system because Obama is president. We know that there may be some differences among us about how to navigate this struggle. However, we must struggle for a unified and strategic program that centers unity around demands based on the needs and power of the black working class as the foremost anti-capitalist force addressing the depth of the capitalist exploitation and oppression facing working class people in this country. We have to figure out how to navigate a process of building unity and having a framework that communicates, shares lessons, tries to arrive at some common assessments, and trying to find ways to carry out some coordinated action. I think that's an important challenge for us as we have a discussion today about how to move ahead.
Thank you, Saladin.
Thank you.
Our next speaker is Christine Williams. She is with a Transport Union, Local 100. Ms. Williams?
Yes.
Are you there?
Yes.
All right.
Hello?
Yes, you can start your presentation.
Okay, you can hear me?
We can hear you.
Oh, okay. Basically, hi, everybody. I'm Christine Williams from TW Local 100, and we're a transport workers union. The reason I'm just going to start a little bit from the beginning, why TW got involved so early and was actually the first union to actually officially sign on to the Occupation Wall Street struggle, was about a couple of months ago, before Occupation Wall Street, there is a group called New Yorkers Against Budget Cuts. It's actually labor, students, and the community united. That's part of our name of the organization. And they also, a lot of people don't realize, there was an occupation similar to this, but not on a bigger scale as this, or like a little bit of maybe even a smaller scale, in front of City Hall Park that went on for 3 weeks. It got a little bit of press, and it was actually, in my opinion, was very successful. Now, when Occupation Wall Street came along on the 17th, it was basically it was no flyer or anything like that. It was just like from email and Facebook. So if you were in the loop with that, that's how you would know about it. Then when it actually took place and it started to build some momentum, various people, rank and file members of the union, were calling me asking how come the union is not really behind this. Actually, their message is exactly the same. They're fighting for the same exact things we unions are fighting for. Why aren't unions really taking a prominent role in this? And I was like, you know, that's a very good question. So it happened to be a coincidence that that same week we had an executive board meeting and I put forth a resolution to officially sign on to the Occupation Wall Street, not just say we're going to be a part of it and show up every now and then. By putting a resolution through the executive board would make it official. Like, we are officially endorsing this, not only by a letter of support, but actually bringing some bodies down there, some resources. And it overwhelmingly, the vote was overwhelmingly a unanimous vote to support Occupation Wall Street. So once that basically got word around New York, which was very quick, practically like two or three days later, it's like it was like a groundswell. It's like UFT, 1199, everybody just jumped in feet first. And then that's when October 5th was like, well, I was thinking it was like a coming out party for the unions. And that rally was basically put together like in days. There was actually no official really flyer for this. It was emails going back and forth. It was word of mouth. And that day, October 5th, there was well over 20,000 people in the streets. This whole year or everything I've been involved with, that to me was the most inspiring because people were still, I mean, it was like they were coming from all left, north, south. They were just coming from everywhere. And then they all marched from Foley Square down to the Occupation, and it was actually a wonderful sight. And the students at the Occupation welcomed us with open arms. They were very glad to see the unions supporting them. And it actually, from there, in my opinion, it just took off after that. I mean, now it's like, I'm not saying it wasn't reaching out to other states or anything, but now it's like worldwide. It's in Greece. It's in Italy. Across the nation. This is a fight that actually hit a nerve. It was like once this nerve was touched, just like the 99, like we are the 99%, everyone identified with it. Anybody who was anybody, you were unemployed, black, Latino, it didn't matter who you were, unemployed, laid off, working, union, non-union, they all signed on to this message, and that's where we stand now. And I guess the purpose of this call is actually how do people of color across the nation use this opportunity to organize our issues, which are basically the same issues, but actually our issues have been going on for years: unemployment, double-digit unemployment, housing, evictions. This, the black community, of course, has been suffering with this for years. And now is the time to actually take this opportunity to actually organize people in people of color neighborhoods and across the nation to finally push forward on the issues that are ahead of us. And that's basically it for my presentation.
Thank you, Christine. We're going to move into local reports, and I'm going to ask you, Christine, to give us the current status of Occupy Wall Street in New York, but you'll be the second speaker in this panel of local reports. If you don't mind doing that, will that work for you?
Oh, for me, yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine with that.
Okay, all right. So we have four cities with report backs on the current status of Occupy in those cities, and those cities include San Francisco, New York again, New Orleans, and Raleigh-Durham. Our four panelists with the local reports include Clarence Thomas, who is with Local 10, the International Longshore Warehouse Workers Union, Then we have Christine Williams again, who's with Local 100 in New York. We have Indesha Wankali, who's with Survivors Village and the St. Bernard Fight Back Center in New Orleans. And we have Ashaki Benta, who's an organizer and is with Black Left Unity Network. Is Clarence Thomas on the call?
This is Clarence from IL.
Clarence, would you open up with about 3 to 5 minutes of report back on what's happening in San Francisco?
Well, I can be more specific as to what the ILWU Local 10 is doing with respect to the movements here in both Oakland and San Francisco. I represent the International Longshore Warehouse Union Local 10, which is in San Francisco. It is the largest African-American longshore local on the West Coast. I guess the first thing is to say is that at our last executive board meeting, which was on October the 11th, that I submitted a resolution, Occupy Wall Street Mobilization Resolution. It was adopted by our executive board. Tonight we have our membership meeting. I guess one of the most important things to discuss is that we are in a very major struggle in the Pacific Northwest with a Wall Street company by the name of Bunge, which is a grain, fertilizer, soybean, international food concern. And they are part of a group called EGT, which has built a grain facility in Longview, Washington. And what it is in fact doing is rupturing the jurisdiction of the ILWU by using non-longshore workers at that site. Many people probably have read or heard about the tremendous struggle that's being waged by the brothers and sisters up there. You have wives, daughters, sons, everyone who's related to longshoremen, which is in this town called Longview, which is very small. But the way that I and others view this is Wall Street coming to the waterfront. These are firms that have heretofore not been to the waterfront but are coming to the waterfront now for the purpose of seeking new profits. I have been working to make the link between Wall Street in the workplace with this particular struggle. Just last week we had longshoremen who are from Longview to come down and not only address our executive board but to actually participate in a foreclose on the banks, which was organized by the Occupation Wall Street West in San Francisco, where Wells Fargo Bank was shut down. The headquarters of Wells Fargo Bank was shut down in the San Francisco Financial District. We were able to have the brothers to speak, along with myself and other ILWU Local 10 members, to be able to make the link specifically with issues concerning the working class and workers and this Occupy Wall Street movement. Now, as a result of the many years of social justice activism here in the Bay Area, which has been led by ILWU Local 10, there is a great deal of familiarity and respect with our local and the work that we've done over the years. Whether or not it's justice for Oscar Grant, refusing to cross a picket line after the killing of the 9 civilians on the high seas by the Israeli government, whether or not it is shutting down 29 ports on the West Coast in May Day 2008 to oppose the war in Iraq, our reputation is well known. The latest action that we have taken was April 4th, where we shut down the port for 24 hours in solidarity with the workers in Wisconsin. So that kind of history and respect in the community, we were very, very well received by the Occupation Wall Street movement. Just in the last few days, the Million Worker March, which was initiated by ILWU Local 10, October of 2004, a statement was issued calling for organizers and calling for anti-war activists, labor, both organized and unorganized, immigrant rights, various social justice organizations to support and defend this Occupy Wall Street movement. And what was done in this statement was to make links that are very similar in terms of how both of these movements emerged. Most specifically, the theme of the Million Worker March, mobilizing in our own name, is a trend that has been manifested by Occupy Wall Street, because this movement has been mobilized and organized in the name of the people, independent of the two Wall Street-controlled political parties. We are now endeavoring to make the connection between labor and the Occupy Wall Street movement even stronger. I addressed People's Assembly at the Occupy Oakland just this Tuesday night. I also was able to provide support with supplies, as well as provide Million Worker March T-shirts and engage in conversations with those that are involved with the People's Assembly. We have sent out the statement of the Million Worker March to the various affiliates here on the West Coast, as well as the East Coast, regarding the Occupy Wall Street movement. We want to create even a stronger connection with this EGT struggle, because we believe that this is very important for workers to understand how they can best plug in. They have to be able to relate make those particular struggles that they are involved with a part of this Occupy Wall Street movement. And one of the things that we know is that it's expanding every day. We know that here in the city of Berkeley, they have an Occupy Berkeley going on. Teachers are getting involved. So this thing is expanding. But I think that, one other thing that I did not mention is that when we were at the Occupy Oakland just a couple of days ago, we were able to talk to people and to visit the various tents that were set up, and it's really quite interesting to see how they have medic tents, media tents, children's zone tents, tents of various description, even tents for people of color. So we think that there is certainly the entree for us to move forward, and I think we just have to be able to use our own ingenuity and creativity to figure out how to plug in. People don't necessarily have to be at a tent in order to be a part of this movement, which I think some people believe has to happen. I think I've summed it up.
Thank you so much. And let me say to those of you who are on the call, we are documenting the reports and the call. As we talk about next steps in terms of the information being provided, we certainly believe that this is information that should go out, and just wanted to make it clear that we are recording, and I intended to say that early on, so just to be transparent about the documentation process. Our second speaker, you've heard a bit from her already, but if she would speak more directly to where things are at the moment in New York City, we'll hear once again from Christine Williams. And if you could take about three to 5 minutes to sum up where things are there.
Okay. Things in New York are obviously, I don't know if, you know, it's on CNN, it's on national TV, is after the labor involvement, it just exploded even more. Now they have different working groups. They have people of color. Today I just found out about an unemployed working group. They have different they have a schedule of different rallies they're going to attend. There's like actually a schedule. There's something going on every day. They've hit Sotheby's with the Teamsters Union. I think tomorrow is going to be a big rally with Verizon workers. I actually attended the national. They had like a national day of action. Actually, it was international day of action, which was Saturday at Times Square. It was insane. It was like 6,000-7,000 people that I could see, you know. But I would like, now that it's gotten the attention that it has, it's now it's time to actually put the nuts and bolts in and how we're going to use this energy. We just can't let it waste. We just got to use this energy to push our agenda, especially in the black community. The people of color meetings, I only attended two of them, very large. There was at least 50, 60 people at these meetings. We're fine-tuning on our goals, on which communities, because I would like to see it go, instead of bringing people to the occupation, I would like to see the people of color group actually go into the communities that are affected by the double-digit unemployment, the evictions, and actually organize the people in their community. Not necessarily bringing them to Wall Street. Let's go to Washington Heights. Let's go to East New York. Let's go to Harlem and organize the people. As for the energy, it's nonstop. I mean, I just don't want to see it go to waste. And so far, everyone that I've talked to is on the same page, and we're just going to move forward with this. And that's basically where it's at right now.
Thank you. We have speaker number 3 from New Orleans, Indesha Wakali, who are you on the line?
Hello, yes, I am.
All right. Would you take a few minutes, 3 to 5, to sum up what's happening in New Orleans and where things stand at the local level?
Yes. Well, first, let me say I've been participating in the what's called Occupy NOLA, primarily not only with the organizing side of it, but also as a legal observer and a legal advisor to the group to kind of make sure that they were protected from the New Orleans Police Department, which is a big thing. It started on October the 6th with a march from the Paris Prison, which is the local jail, in solidarity with critical resistance and the movement down here to reform the criminal justice system, and march down the Central Business District to one of the major parks inside the Central Business District, which is adjacent to the Federal Reserve. You had about 600 people at that march, which is a pretty good amount for New Orleans. The movement now is primarily a movement of and about young white people more than a community-based movement. There were the traditional activists and organizers of color participating, but there was no real neighborhood or black community-based participation, and that's about how it is now. It's currently being they're currently occupying a park adjacent to City Hall, and there's probably 100 tents sitting outside of City Hall. And with the general assemblies, you may have 200 to 300 people participating back and forth with the general assembly. My analysis, my assessment of it, is that I think it's good in that it's raising some real issues in regard to being us using the national theme of wealth, corruption, government, the lack of government participation in helping poor people. We're raising these issues, but the actual group has no real political focus at all, and it's very difficult to get them to focus on anything direct because their general approach is that they don't want to actually focus on particular problems, but everybody can just bring up whatever their problems are. As such, there is an anti-racist working group that is working around the issues of people of color and thus. But the general Occupy NOLA lacks a lot of focus, but I still think it's a good thing because it's allowing us to use this momentum to bring issues up that we need to bring up. But it's a very young, white, hippie-type oriented situation with a few black people on the fringes. And our real issue now is whether or not, if it's possible, to actually integrate a real community-based black agenda or black movement either with that or on a separate track but in solidarity with it. We're trying to struggle it. We're struggling around what's the best way to approach it. But it is here. It is pretty consistent. And I think that we just need to find a way to make it work for us.
Thank you. And our last report back is by Ashaki Benta, who is with Black Left Unity Network, and will report on Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina. You there, Ashaki?
Hear me?
You're on.
Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. Again, my name is Ashaki Benta. I'm an organizer with the United Electrical Workers here in North Carolina, as well as a member of the Black Workers for Justice and the Black Left Unity Network. Just to give a little background on the Occupy movement here in North Carolina, there have been a couple of small marches under the title of Banner of Occupy in Durham, and then in the last couple of months. And then on October 15th, joining with the kind of worldwide, unity that was displayed, there was an Occupy the Capitol rally, which is Raleigh, here in North Carolina. And I would say there were about, 500-600 people who came out. Again, the character was similar to, the character that other people have been describing, where it's kind of young whites who were in charge of it and who seemed to be the organizers. It was the majority of the audience was white. There was a small percentage of African Americans there, very few Latinos that I was able to see. But, there was a real openness. The character had the same Occupy Wall Street character as happening in New York in terms of, the kind of anti-capitalist flavor, anti-Wall Street flavor, embryonic kind of almost embryonic class consciousness there that, has the potential possibly of being developed. And the rally was very open to, people just speaking from various, constituencies there. So we did have one of the officers of the North Carolina State AFL-CIO that spoke in solidarity with the Occupy movement and, offering the support of the AFL-CIO in the state, which is, to the Occupy movement. And then there were a few African Americans who spoke, basically homeless African Americans, a young sister and another brother, talking about having lost his home in terms of his family. And they were very open to allowing people to speak. There were a lot of banners and stuff out that, had the same kind of, character as the New York movement. And I think that it seemed to me that it was very, very open to force his various constituencies joining and becoming a part of the momentum and bringing our own, you know, kind of banners and demands and, you know, and Occupy statements into the process. At least here, it seemed to be very, very open for that. And that may, I don't know if that's the case around the country, but that may be the case. And so, you know, rather than trying to convince them of, you know, the legitimacy of our issues, to bring our issues into the process and into the movement and bring the Black community forward, you know, visibly as a part of it, it seems to be open to that. Now, you know, that hasn't been challenged yet, so, you know, we don't know what the response would have been. Young Whites had kind of had the folk song-y type of character to it as well. They had a couple of folk song singers that were a part of it, but I would say overall, you know, pretty positive and pretty open. You know, as some of the other speakers have indicated, you know, the African American community is impacted, you know, the most deeply by this crisis, and you know, it shows itself all over the country, and that's even exacerbated when you're talking about, you know, the U.S. South. Where we are, you know, it's, a number of the southern states have a very high black unemployment, you know, level, over 16% in Mississippi, over 16% in Alabama, over 16% in Georgia, over 17% in North Carolina, over 16% in South Carolina. You know, so all of these southern states have, among the highest rates. And when you get into individual cities, obviously it's much higher than that. So, you know, if I think, you know, we're in a position to, you know, hopefully bring the African-American community in, you know, some of these demands about the unemployment and what have you, but making it a part of the whole Occupy demands on the state. You know, and I would say in addition to that, that, you know, the National Democratic Convention is coming to Charlotte this next September, and I don't know what the state of the Occupy movement will be by then, but, you know, there still may be, you know, the opportunity there for a sense of bringing national attention to some of our issues here. And our organized work in the United Electrical Workers, for example, and in Black Workers for Justice, you know, we're struggling with the issues of the lack of collective bargaining rights, for example, throughout this region, and particularly in states like North Carolina, specifically in Virginia. We have laws here on the books that prevent, you know, public sector workers, for example, being able to bargain collectively to address, you know, our issues and conditions on the job. You know, the whole question of the South in regard to public sector workers and the attack on the public sector that's occurred, you know, that showed itself in Wisconsin. You know, we have begun to raise, even in that context, you know, where collective bargaining, for example, is being attacked in states across the country like Wisconsin. We don't have the collective bargaining process here in the South for the most part for public sector workers. So, you know, these kind of questions have been issues for us, you know, trying to put pressure on, you know, the North Carolina legislature to overturn the laws that we have on the books here against, you know, this kind of right of, you know, the trade union movement to develop. These are some of the different, you know, kinds of issues that, you know, that we have here in the region that we think should also be pushed out, you know, in this period. And, you know, certainly these things won't happen if the Black left and the organized forces in the Black community, the mass movements that already exist, you know, are not drawn into the process and we're not taking the lead to help that happen. So I think there are ongoing meetings with the Occupy movement here in the Raleigh-Durham area. But, you know, the character, I haven't heard of any working groups and things like that yet, but I'm sure that will open up as a part of it since that's part of the national character already. And, you know, would like to, you know, see that happen. And so there may be opportunities for us to help, you know, plug in there. So discussions are going on about this internally in Black Workers for Justice and in UE Local 150 that we have here, about how to view and understand the Occupy movement and what role we as labor activists and trade unionists should be playing, as well as, you know, harnessing the sentiment of the entire black community in terms of, you know, all of our many issues. I haven't said anything about environmental racism, for example, that's rampant throughout the whole southern region. You know, all of these issues, I think, can surface. They're connected to, you know, the national budget crisis, the war, and all of these things that are, you know, have opened up these attacks on our communities and exacerbated our, you know, the worst of our conditions. The school system throughout the region is in a shambles, obviously. So I'll close on that, but that's, you know, that's where we are here in the South.
Thank you, Ashaki. Thank you very much. Thanks to all of our local presenters. And we're going to move the call into an audience phase so people can weigh in with comments and questions directed to our presenters. Let me just review this process once again, that you as conference participants are on mute, but if you would like to ask a question or raise a point, you need to press star 1, and that will cue us to the fact that you would like to get in the line. I am going to take 3 to 4 questions, and we can start the process now for those of you who are interested in either asking a question or making a point.
Hello?
Yes. This is Larry Ham in Newark, New Jersey.
Okay.
With the People's Organization for Progress. I just wanted to know, would there be an opportunity to make other comments about other activities that are going on? I don't have a specific question. I don't want to interrupt the conversation. But we have some other stuff going on in Newark that, you know, I could bring, let people know about.
We'll take at least a moment to mention it, and perhaps we can come back to it if there are one or two things that you'd like to just put on the table there.
Right. I'm the chair of the People's Organization for Progress in Newark, New Jersey. We have endorsed the Occupy Wall Street effort. Several weeks ago, we adopted a resolution in our organization. But prior to Occupy Wall Street, the People's Organization for Progress actually started a daily protest campaign for jobs, peace, equality, and justice. It started on June 27th, and today will be the 116th day of daily protests in Newark for jobs, peace, equality, and justice. And we plan to continue this effort for 381 days, which was the length of the Montgomery bus boycott. And we are trying to link our efforts to the occupation efforts in New York and around the country.
Very good. Thank you.
We have Dar Fleming from Chicago next.
What's up, what's up, what's up, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, J.R. Dot, New Orleans. How you doing? Man, it's interesting, Khalid, that we're having this conversation about the black left, the black people in general, involvement in Occupy Wall Street, right? There were some indicators out there from the get-go, the perception that this was a leaderless movement. In Chicago, we are trying to work through some of them difficulties. But because some of them are far stretched, you have a lot of communities of color reserved. Occupy Chicago gained a lot of momentum last week because it was already coordinated actions against the Mortgage Bankers Associations of America. So not to get that confused, right? that a lot of groups who have been participating down there were already summoned down there for a week of action on the Mortgage Bankers of America. Now, there have been endorsement by some unions, labor unions, teacher unions, and various union groups and issue area organizations around endorsing it. However, a majority of these endorsements are not reflective of the communities of color in Chicago. They asked our group, the Anti-Eviction Campaign, to try and mediate and provide conflict resolution around race, class, and privilege, as these are some issues that have been raised nationally. The problem with this is when you try to do this with what is supposed to be a leaderless movement, it is almost impossible to get people to sit down and discuss such issues. But last night, ABC News Chicago reported that the Occupy Chicago movement domain is actually owned by a young European, Caucasian, however you want to frame it, kid from LaPorte, Indiana, and that there haven't been transparency. They have posted their money that they had raised. So there are a lot of issues rising around what the communities of color is going to do with the Occupy Chicago. With us, we have a young lady by the name of Brittany Gault, who has initiated the Occupy the Hood movement in Chicago. As folks are trying to figure out nationally what Occupy the Hood is going to look like, they're looking for Chicago not only as a model for Occupy the Hood, but basically to decide what really is the next step in the benefit of communities of color participating with Occupy Chicago. And as we've been trained through the network and other various facilitators, we judge people off their word. It is okay for the people of the communities of color to go to Wall Street and protest, but what happens when a question is asked that we ask these same people to join us in our communities where most of these issues that they're speaking about have tremendously had an effect on us for decades? So them are some of the questions we are asking and that we are also trying to resolve. Basically, we're looking for input about where folks naturally seem to where they want to go. Because as we know, the hood can bring numbers.
That sounds
and as
like
we know.
Okay. That sounds like a good question. I'm gonna stop you right there, and maybe we can ask either the panelists or the framers to address that last question that you just put on the table. Is there anyone who either was a part of the local reports or Saladin and Christine who want to weigh on JR's question, the last question that he posed for us? Anyone want to take that on?
I would like to get on that, Stack.
Christine. Anyone else?
Saladin.
Saladin. Christine, why don't you start?
Okay, for the last brother who spoke, basically the same thing's happening in New York. It's mostly young, white people actually in charge of what's going on at the General Assemblies. I don't tell you the truth, I don't even know the framework of how to even get in there, to even get a word in. I don't even know who's in charge, who to ask, or... and I don't even want, it's so many people down there. I'm talking about hundreds of people per night. I don't even know where to begin to ask. But when it comes down to the breaking down of the working groups, it's more defined, and you can basically work within the working group. I'll give you an example. The People of Color group is rather large. No, I'm going to give you a better example. The labor group is actually pretty large, too, 60, 70 people from various unions, unemployed, are in these meetings. And I've been attending the labor meetings, and they've been at first disorganized, but I see as we keep meeting, it gets more defined. Goals are more defined. Ideas are flowing. That's what the People of Color meetings are also very large. And I see see it's going to end up like that, too. We're going to have to work out how we're going to make it more defined, more organized. In time, I think we'll get it, because there is one thing that in the people of color group do agree on, that we've been dealing with these issues for decades, years. And how do we – getting people to come from bedside to Wall Street is not going to cut it. We need to get in these communities and organize the people there on how to move forward. That's one thing that the people of color group have expressed. So I think in time we'll get that together.
Saladin?
Yeah, no, I want to echo what Sister Christina said. I think, you know, the question for us has to be, how do we expand the sentiment and change, you know, the character so that it, you know, it identifies, you know, in our communities and struggles, you know. I think, you know, being a mediator, you know, trying to resolve, you know, problems within it, you know, we probably could, you know, find better use, you know, for our energies, you know, because we might have to do some mediation, you understand, between different organizations, you know, in our own communities, you know, as we forge black and brown unity of people of color, you know, we got to work these questions out. But I would think it's got to be a question of expansion, because the mediation could give an impression almost, you understand, like, you know, that there's a, you know, a genuine focus on, you know, working out some of these differences that I expect that there is, you know, but it is around these differences, I think, in shaping how Occupy Wall Street looks like at those sites, you understand, where the general assemblies are taking place, you know. So we need the general assemblies ourselves as an expression of self-determination, and then we can ally, you know, with other general assemblies, you know, as a part of a broader people's movement.
Okay. Next person, would you introduce yourself and where you're from?
The next person we have on the list is Sam.
Sam Anderson.
What's the name registered to Sam?
Are you there, Sam?
Okay, why don't we go to the next person? That person is Ron Davis.
Ron Davis, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, Ron. Tell us where you're from and question or comment.
Okay. I'm Ron Davis, and I'm from Knoxville, Tennessee. And my question is about the General Assemblies. I wanted to ask Ashaki if the General Assemblies were happening as a part of the Occupy Raleigh-Durham piece. And then my second probably comment was, if the General Assemblies are not structured, I'm just curious if we as black folks can't do our own General Assembly at these rallies, since that's already kind of set up for that, and can we, you know, kind of take our own issues and frame it in the context of a General Assembly at the various Occupy areas?
Ashaki, did you want to respond to that question?
I guess it's General Assemblies, but they've been – oh, hello? You hear me?
Yes.
Oh, I'm
yes.
Sorry. Talk. I was saying that there have been some, I guess what you would call General Assembly meetings in the Durham area, and I'm not sure about – they haven't called it that in Raleigh, but there are ongoing meetings that are taking place. So the actual rally that we had on the 15th – that they had on the 15th – had the character, you know, of the same kind of General Assemblies thing that happened in New York, but I think that's an ongoing, you know, possible open process. that could happen here.
And Saladin, you mentioned the fact that maybe one direction would be to do our own General Assembly. I think that was the last part of the question that Ron put on the table. Did you want to speak to that more
yes,
directly?
I mean, I think so. I mean, again, you know, part of, you know, building, you know, the unity of the mass organizations, you know, black workers in the labor movement, et cetera, you know, some expression of self-determination within this Occupy Wall Street, you know, broad motion. These people's assemblies, I think, you know, will be very, very important, and we should organize them ourselves. Now, these are, you know, so that we bring, you understand, with a united spirit, you understand, something to, you know, any other General Assemblies that we participate in. So I would think we need to have those as well.
All right.
Is this an open discussion?
Yes. Is this Ron?
No, this is Indacia.
No, Indacia.
All right.
From New Orleans.
Speak to the issue, Indacia.
Yeah. Well, let me say this in regard to the General Assemblies. I've been a part of many of the General Assemblies, and I don't think the way the process works, you can have a separate General Assembly. I think the General Assembly is everybody who's there has the opportunity to participate. I mean, if the way you would break down a particular kind of interest group like the black, like a particular black group, it would be through the working groups. And it's through the working groups that you can create your own strategy, which does not have to go to the General Assembly, which you have the independent ability to actually implement your strategy, and that does not have to be approved by the General Assembly. I mean, that's the way I read it and the way it appears to work. Now, my concern before I would look at getting involved in this in any way is to answer some questions about the infrastructure of the Occupy Wall Street movement and if this infrastructure is actually reasonable and practical to work. For instance, can you build a movement if you don't have any leaders? Can you build a movement that doesn't have any particular demand? Can you build a movement where everything has to be done by consensus and anybody in the group can just block it? And if you can't get them to remove the block, then you're kind of stymied me from moving forward. There appears to be some inherent deficiencies in the infrastructure of the way the movement wants to work that, to me, is kind of a utopian situation that I think would cause problems if seasoned organizers tried to get in and kind of reform that situation, whereas, in my opinion, the best strategy is to create a second track kind of movement that we would control ourselves and then be in solidarity with the Occupy Wall Street movement, because sometimes just trying to get a decision made in that current structure gets very chaotic and it wastes a lot of time and it disillusions people by the tediousness of trying to decide anything. So I don't know whether trying to get in there and reform their process is reasonable or whether we could find a way to create another process that is more workable and then work in solidarity with what is currently there.
Well, it seems to me, given the last set of comments, that these are more complex and difficult issues than we're going to be able to work out on this call, but it does indicate that there is a desperate need to get some clarity on moving forward. And I know as we're moving toward next steps, then this whole set of questions around infrastructure, decision-making, all of that, we really do need to weigh in on. Having said that, we do have some people in the queue that would like to speak. So I have next on the list Willie Terry.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. I'm calling from Albany, New York. I just want to inform you that we're starting out actually tomorrow. You should be hearing about it. And the question I have is, how do you balance all the other political work you're doing, you know, as opposed to what's going on with the Occupy Wall Street movement?
So that's one question. I'm going to go to the next person, Charles Jenkins.
Out of New York. It's more now. We had a trying to go into the second half. I know it's a 90-minute call, and to raise the questions in terms of how we move forward and how we connect in terms of building working groups off this here call in the respective cities. If we can just kind of find out who's in the same cities. So that we can begin to deal with the whole question of black and brown unity as it meets the crossroads of Occupy Wall Street. By all the work that, again, that folks have mentioned that we've been doing for many, many, many years, the progressive left, and just how does that look? I mean, I've already began to build that unity in New York, speaking with various groups such as Occupy the Hood. I invited somebody on from Occupy the Hood, and maybe they're on this here call listening. So we're going to be working very closely with people that have taken up this here question in our communities already to see how we further move this here discussion into actual works in some kind of time frame so it can become real in a sense as this here thing keeps on exploding and we begin to push out those issues, and particularly, like it was said again by Clarence, something that we did 6 years back in name of the Million Worker March, and that is speaking in our own name. Thank you.
Thank you. And Sam Anderson?
I'm going to respond to something else, but I'll pass.
All right. Could someone speak to Willie Terry's question about the work that's been going on? I'm thinking maybe Saladin, do you want to say something more about some of that work?
What was the question exactly?
Our focus has been on the Occupy movement, but his question concerned he wanted to have a better sense of some of the other work that's going on. For example, I think that went out in the letter, some of the activities around Cuba, some of the other work that that we've been involved in. So,
well, I mean, I think, you know, the question, I know I've talked with Willie, we both in the same working group. He's a trade unionist out of New York State. There's a lot of struggles that are going on, you know, and the question of how to tie them together in this period. And you know, Blunt has tried to do that in a very, very small way. But I think now, you know, we have, you know, this kind of issue, this movement, this sentiment, you know, that really enables us, you know, to together, you know, figure out how to connect the struggles, you understand, and give, you know, a different character, you know, to them that, that they've been able to have, you know, thus far. So, I think that, you know, maybe Sam will be able to explain that minimally. You know, Blunt has a listserv and a website, and this call is an effort, you understand, to try to reach out as far as we can to provide a forum, you understand, you know, for people, you know, to communicate and share lessons, you know, so that we can begin to arrive maybe at a more common assessment. I think that's the best I can respond on that right now.
Okay, thank you. Well, there was the statement made by Charles Jenkins to perhaps move into this whole discussion of next steps. Before we close out with that, if there anyone else who has a question or comment, would you identify yourself and your organization, and we can get you on the list?
The next person that we had, Rose, is Tata Bantu.
Okay. Tata Bantu, you're on.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Tata Bantu Iverson from Gary, Indiana, U.S. Human Rights Network. And my first concern is that clearly from what people have said, and I'm very appreciative to all the folks who have spoken about their ongoing experience with the Occupy motion. It clearly seems that there are some problems, some organizational and procedural kind of difficulties that we run into when we try to interact with folks in the Occupy motion. And we're just getting started in that direction here in Gary, Indiana. But it would seem that one of the things we should continue to try to do, and some of the folks have already voiced this, I think, is that where it is feasible, folks who have an understanding of how we might want to, as Saladin says, expand and deepen the character of this Occupy motion, we should be trying to meet with folks to the extent that it's possible. I'm not talking about wasting energy, but if opportunities exist to have conversations, real conversations, about how some unity can be built, not only with what's being said within the Occupy motion, but with what's going on in our particular communities, then I think we should seize those opportunities where possible. But at the end of the day, and this is the second issue I want to raise, is that I think we have to continue to do our organizing work, particularly around racial justice issues. And as a human rights activist, it has become apparent to me in our experience here in Gary that trying to do our racial justice work is enhanced as we try to bring such documents as CERD, the Race Convention, to bear, because a lot of our folks have been doing racial justice stuff, but they have not necessarily had an understanding of how we might be able to expand and deepen our own racial justice work in our communities by making use of these human rights documents. And similarly, and this is a very important issue here in Northwest Indiana, which has a virulent history of racial division between black workers, Latino workers, and white workers, we're beginning to try to figure out how we can talk about not only such documents as the Race Convention, CERD, but also how we can begin to try to frame and articulate and educate using economic, social, and cultural rights, because one of the things that we're very clear about here in Northwest Indiana is if we don't find a way to address the pain that all sectors of the working class are experiencing, then what we're going to run the risk of is ourselves being vulnerable to the way in which people have historically been trying to pit us against one another, different sectors against one another. So to avoid that, we're trying to walk on two legs, as it were, and talk about economic, social, and cultural rights as they affect all of us, but certainly they affect all of us in some ways that are not identical. So we're talking about economic, social, and cultural rights, and we're also trying to address racial justice. I have one question. Sister Rose, could you,
yes,
before we get too much further and people might have to break off. Could you please identify ways in which all of us might be able to access the notes that will be available as a result of work you all are doing to record?
Well, that's actually a very good segue, and we do have an answer to that that question. That's high on the priority, to get the notes written up and to get them disseminated. I'm going to ask Brother Sam to come in and talk about the next steps as we had thought about them, and people can weigh in on them. Are you there on the call?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, take us through that process.
The process of the notes?
Well, next steps, and I think there were four things that we for sure wanted to make available to people. That is the availability of the Blund listserv.
Yes.
The fact that we will summarize the report. Does that sound like where you're going to go with this?
Right, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I personally was not taking any notes, but I assume.
No. We as I mentioned earlier, we've been recording and documenting.
Right.
So we're going. They will have to be made available to the participants, but we do have the documentation.
Right. The documentation, we will be able to put that on the blacklefunity.org website, and that way people can get access to it. I guess the other would be for those who are not on the Black Left Unity listserv to get on the listserv by simply emailing me your email address, and then that way you'll get immediate notification of whatever we put up on the website. My email address is blackeducator@me.com. Me as in me, myself, and I. blackeducator@me.com. We have we will have the ability to put the documentation up, and I don't know if this service provides a transcript. If they do, they'll probably provide it at a cost. There are some conference call services that in fact provide the transcript, and that would also be helpful. Somebody can look into that who set this up. Is there anything else that people need to know?
Certainly, in terms of we heard some of the reports that were not formally part of the call, but it would be great if people will send their local reports. Again, I think to your website, to your contact information,
email.
Our website.
Right.
Email those reports.
Yeah. Email them to me, and then those reports we could set up a page on the website for those reports from different parts of the country, different sites of struggle. Yeah.
And there were many other sites that, of course, we couldn't get to, and it'll be very important to get as much of that information up as possible. So if you have reports and you weren't able to report briefly today, it would be very useful to send those to blackeducator@me.com.
Right. And they could reports can include media.
Media, right. And then speaking to the issue of follow-up for a next call. I don't know what the sentiment is about that. It's been proposed that within the next 2 to 3 weeks, perhaps some follow-up, perhaps a second call. People need to weigh in on that. Those were the kind of four things that I had on a list that included joining the Blund listserv, our disseminating materials from this call, providing some summary to all those who are on the call. If you have written reports, sending those, and the whole question of follow-up around perhaps another call. And I guess folks can weigh in on that by pushing star one, if that makes sense to the participants on this call.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello? Yeah, I mean, if we can, you know, if people can send, you know, shots of activities, you know, that they're engaged in, that they're mobilizing around, it's important, you know, to be able to capture the motion and for people to see the motion and for people to be able to contact with each other to learn more about it. You know, I think it's going to be important. And the listserv, I think, you know, as Sam was laying out, there may be some new questions, you know, that people may feel, you know, that has not come out, you know, that could be put forward on a listserv, and, you know, people can respond to those questions on a listserv.
Sounds good.
This is Ajama Baraka.
Ajama.
I just wanted to echo the last two comments that laid out some of the things that we can begin to do as Black left forces here in this country. I think being a part of a listserv that allows us to share information, serve as a basis for mobilizing support for our particular work, for allowing us to coordinate among ourselves at certain points, I think is fundamentally important at this point in history. I mean, this crisis that we face in this country and internationally, it requires that we figure out how we can begin to struggle among ourselves, how we can begin to coordinate and to concentrate our powers. So at minimum, we have no shame in coming to the masses saying we've got to get ourselves organized. So we can just at minimum commit to at least being in contact with one another. I think that would be a major step forward. The other few things that people touched on we need to emphasize over and over again is, again, if you have information that should be shared for work that's taking place in your area, please send that to Sam. Just get that up on the website. And the question of the report, I think what we're going to try to do is to synthesize what we've heard this afternoon, summarize it, provide some degree of analysis, and then try to get that out to folks so they can look at that, discuss it, debate it, or whatever. And lastly, I would strongly suggest that we do commit to coming together again in at least 2 weeks just to check in and see where we are and see if there's a basis of us maybe moving together collectively in a more formal way. So I would strongly suggest that we come together in about 2 weeks and check back in with ourselves.
Right.
Thank you, Ajamo. Anything else in terms of bringing this call to a close? Any final questions? Star one. Thank you all very much for being on this call. We will be in touch.
There's a couple of people. I'm sorry, Rose. There are a couple of people who are
still. Are there?
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, there are a couple of people. We got, again, excuse me for intervening, but we had the somebody registered under Willie Fleming. Then there's a Julie Chang Schulman, I believe, if that's correct.
Julia? Why don't we start with, we haven't heard any female voices recently, so let's start with, is it Julia Chang?
Julie, yeah, Julie C is what I go by. Am I heard by everybody right now?
You are heard.
Okay. So I'm from Seattle, Washington. We've been really active on the ground out here. How we participated is through forming a hip-hop working group from a sort of national to local perspective, local to national and whatnot. And I just wanted to offer us as a resource out there for anybody out there interested in partnering. We are available online at www.hiphopoccupies.com. We're partners with JR, Occupy the Hood, Hip Hop Congress, and several other urban arts, both national and local organizations. And so I also wanted to, just as a note, urge people involved to find artists on the ground that are participating in Occupy movements and plugging into that, because in this kind of chaotic environment of trying to have an authentically democratic process, we found that using art and using the media networks that are connected to local artist communities have been really powerful in mobilizing people and getting our numbers down there and our issues heard. So that's all.
Thank you. And you will be sending materials to the website?
Yes, I can do that. Yes, I can do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Willie Fleming?
Initiating convener. This is JR, but I'm actually introducing Brittany Galt, the convener,
okay.
Initiator of Occupy the Hood Chicago. And Julie, we're going to talk to you in a sec.
All power.
Hi, Brittany.
How are you all? Can you
hear me? Fine. How are you?
I'm great, actually. I'm really excited about this opportunity to really speak with you all today. I'm hearing concerns about infrastructure and how do we manifest this across the United States. And I'm really excited to share with you all that this is something that me and my partners have been really indulging in our own personal time about how can you get a movement of this capacity to really spread like wildfire. And so what we were proposing was that initially we have a general meeting with those who are on this call at the end of November through December, maybe similar to Social Media Week. I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with how successful Social Media Week was, but here in Chicago it was phenomenal. It actually inspired me to really take a greater role in this movement. So really using this opportunity to come together and establish what we feel would be the proposed agenda for this next level of human rights and human rights activism. Specifically, I wanted to highlight that we are at a point here in Chicago where we are preparing to really go out into the community, speak with everyone door to door, and establishing a canvas strategy that would put us all with one message, one voice, one inspiration, because we find that people, of course, want to take what they think it is and put the emotion into it, and try to identify with people instead of really working with people and helping them understand how to arrive and elevate them to a state of understanding. So we really, personally, I would love to see if anything that Occupy the Hood, Chicago as well as Occupy the Hood nationally, just serves as a wave of momentum to really push forward the agendas and the issues that we all value and that we think are important. To really go in and try to establish an infrastructure for something like this, I think would be counterproductive, because you all are doing such phenomenal work in the community already. It's just really saying, hey, I identify with the mission and the goals of this Occupy Wall Street movement. We agree that there needs to be some level of economic development where not only do people of color have access over their human capital as well as their capital and wealth, but we are also replicating that in communities outside of the communities of color and really creating this united front and showing that we are and truly the 99%, and we are representative of that, of every nation, of every culture. And be it that Chicago is the city of neighborhoods, we thought this would be a great place to kind of experiment and see what are people dealing with in mixed income communities as well as in very segregated communities, as a way to gauge how we should approach each neighborhood issue, and not really giving Occupy an agenda, but saying, hey, this will be the vehicle in which your agenda can be heard. And this is how we can connect you with resources like the BLUN, who are already doing this type of work, and maybe establishing mutually beneficial win-win relationships among each other as this resource group known as Occupy the Hood, where we are people who are out here. You can look us up. We are noted by our work, and we have all come together to form this major coalition that addresses the issues of our communities versus allowing corporate giving partners and all of these different donors to say, hey, I've made this impact. Well, we're showing you how you're not making impact, and this is how we have made the impact in areas where you should be, where your money should be targeted. So that's just a few of the things that have crossed my mind, and I hope we all can work together soon to bring not only the message of the hood, but understanding that the neighborhood is really the where it's at. It's where community is formed. It's where the economy is formed, and really helping people build those sustainable systems among themselves so then they can better understand how, and scale how the larger systems work, and they're able to make better decisions from that. You all have a great day.
Can I ask one thing of you?
Yes.
Would you, the proposal that you just laid out, would you write that up and send it to the email address that we've been floating here on the call today so that
yes,
we can continue the conversation?
Indeed.
Do you have the email address?
Yes, I do.
Well, would you do that?
Yeah. Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yes, I do have the email address.
And would you do that?
Yes,
and
I definitely
can continue the conversation. We're gonna bring this call to a close. It's been a very important call, and we will be back in touch about another call in about 2 weeks. Thank you once again for being on, and have a good rest of the day.
Thank you, everybody. Very good.
Thank you.